It's now time for your favorite guilty pleasure.
The E2 Books Show.
Check your innocence at the door and welcome two of the men your mama warned you about.
Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varengo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is, and I haven't run this by Scott yet, this is the first episode of the first season of the new E2 Books show.
Wow. Awesome.
Now, Scott, and I just want to say this is a great example of how a partnership lives and flourishes for as long as ours has to keep the other person informed about changes that are going to be made. So you're welcome. Yeah.
At least, you know, at the very last minute. Oh, by the way.
Exactly. Well, that kind of is how we've done things all along. If we probably told this story before, but when we're co-writing, we get halfway into it or more. And Scott will occasionally receive an email from me or a message rather saying, what would you say if dot, 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 and it always means something catastrophic, like we're changing the entire thing.
Usually stretches back to chapter one.
What would you say if we scrapped the entire thing and started anew?
And make the main character a bunny.
So
I'm always like, yeah, fine, whatever.
Right. Suffice to say, he's used to it, so I don't feel as nearly as bad about this as I should.
You know, it's funny because I was just thinking we should have like an E2 show, you know, and oh wow.
Hey Scott, what would you think if we started a new E2 show today?
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, partly that is a reaction to the fact that we were going to do a show today anyway and had no topic. So, no, but in all seriousness, that's not going to last long.
No,
but we did want to keep everybody or get everybody up to date on what we've been doing. We've talked about E2 books before. We did an introductory show, as I recall. But a lot has happened and changed, and all good things. But there's going to be a lot going on. One of the things that I'm looking forward to in the E2 world is the series that we're currently working on. I think it will end up being the flagship series for the brand going forward. And that is the Arum series. Yes. Have we talked about it by name before?
I don't think we have. I think you just broke major ground right there.
Yeah. The first book will be called Mayan Shadows. And we don't have a release date for it yet, but we're I don't know if we're halfway through it or not, but we're getting close to the halfway.
Yeah, it kind of feels like we're about halfway because the feces is about to hit the oscillating wind moving machine.
Right. So. Yeah, once that happens, and as history has told us with our stuff, it starts moving pretty quick.
Yep.
Both plot wise and the fact that we both want to find out what the hell's going to happen.
Exactly. So, how is this one going to end?
But no, it's I feel pretty confident in saying at this point that. Well, let me put it this way. I feel better about this co-writing project than I have probably any of our other ones. Yeah. I've enjoyed pretty much everything we've worked on together.
Well, I have too. I think part of what's making this special is it's the first series that we've started together from scratch.
Yes.
Everything else basically that we've co-written has either been something that you started with Spyco and with Serenity or me with Cleanup Crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm. This is not casting aspersions about any of the other stuff that we've done. I love all of it, but this is something else. This is something different, and it's. I think it's better. I think the characters are deeper right off. Now, the other characters are, but it took them a while to grow throughout the series. This is book one we're working on, and I'm already seeing depth in these characters. That I might not have expected until later on. They're fully alive to me, and I care about them already deeply. So I guess we could tell a little bit about, I'm going to get into the plot too much, but the setting. So the main character is a guy named Maxwell Barnes, and he is kind of an independent archaeologist. And by that, I mean, he's not tied to one institution.
Right.
He kind of does his own thing. Kind of like we are indie authors, for example. We're not tied to a publishing house. He does that with archaeology. And as such, he runs into some roadblocks, and there are people who look down their noses at him from their ivory towers. And even though that he has consistently bought in better results often than they have, and they hate him for that as well. But he's it's him, and he's got a sidekick named Axel Morales. And the two of them, I'm also finding a theme in our work with the two main characters. One's, they're kind of co-protagonists, really. Right. I kind of hate to say sidekick. But they have the banter going on between them, kind of the love-hate relationship going right. on. Kind of a Shelby and Mac.
Shelby and Mac thing, or a Dan and Neil thing going on. Yep.
Yep. So yeah, that's the biggest thing that we're working on. There are some other things under the scene that I don't want to talk about yet, but that are also pretty exciting. But lots on the range, as they say. Actually, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that before.
No, I don't think so either, but they're probably all going to start saying it now.
Lots on the range. Nobody knows what it means.
Nope.
It actually means
walking around saying it, waving each other, lots on the range.
Hey, how you doing? Lots on the range. People think you're stupid if you don't say it.
Right.
And he doesn't even say
it. Like the Emperor's new saying, you know.
Exactly.
This might be our chance to like get in the OED next year. Who knows? We get this thing to take off. Lots on the range. The phrase of the year, lots on the range.
But with it, you know, getting back to E2 books. That thing. One of the things, reasons we're doing the E2 books is sort of, now we had a ton of different ventures going on, and they were all called something different. And over the last few months, we both started to think, why don't we start pulling these things under a single umbrella of the E2 books? And it has made it certainly easier to manage. Made it easier to market. And I have found that it has somehow managed to focus my own thinking as well. There's something about putting everything under the same roof.
Yep.
You know, I don't intend to stop doing what I'm doing, and I don't intend to let Scott stop doing what he's doing.
That might be.
Exactly. He's trapped, and I intend to keep him that way. So, but no, it's been a good time. We're excited to bring all this stuff out to you and tell you more as we can. But yeah, what we're working on now is the new series. I think we have roughly three books planned. Mm-hmm. I say roughly because we only have one of them. Actually, we have a treatment written for the first one. And, but yeah, it's going to be fun. We have the foundations put down for the series as well. The entire, really the plot for the series. But we have cleverly built in little escape routes for ourselves. So if we get into it and start really enjoying it, we can always extend it if we want to.
So right.
This is kind of the guys we are. Always have an escape plan. like you read in the books, I used to read these like spy manuals in preparation for writing thrillers or whatnot. And it was one of the things always, when you walk into a room, always scope out the escape route first. Right. Never sit with your back to the door, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yep. I think every book I've ever written has a little treatise on where to sit in a public place.
And he sits prior to the pandemic. That's what he did when he went to write.
That's right. You
know, I scoped out the perfect place just in case an angry reader came in, he could escape quickly. Although I think mostly it was the fans of Yeah, he's screaming fans trying to get autographs. He couldn't take it anymore. Eventually, he'd have to flee the premises.
The phenomenon of Scotty Mania was just too much.
I know. It was just getting started, too, and the pandemic hit. You know, it's just...
Isn't that the way it always goes?
Yeah. So now you're going to have to get back out there once, assuming it ever ends, and build all that momentum up again.
Yes.
Now, one thing we did release recently is the Beauty of Bucharest audiobook. And we also did, if you missed it, we did a live with, was it live?
Yeah.
Or was it recorded? I couldn't remember. With Austin Gray, the narrator, who, by the way, did a fantastic job.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It was almost as if the book had been written for her.
For her, yeah, for sure. She just took it and owned it and killed it, man.
Yeah, definitely. So that is now out and available, and definitely go ahead and pick that up. I think it's on Audible and Kobo, basically everywhere. I think we published it wide after all. So it's wherever audiobooks are served up to you, there you shall find it, and you should immediately.
When we first released it, we were actually quite pleased with some of the folks we were showing up near in the sales rankings.
Yeah.
People that folks might have heard about. I don't remember any of them off the top of my head. Baldacci was up there, wasn't he?
Yeah, Baldacci was. Yeah, we were up there with him. No, it was... Poser.
Poser. He's trying to look good next to my book.
Yeah, it's trying to horn in on your success.
There's only one guy worse than him.
We know who that is. I won't mention it here for fear of suits, but yeah.
He knows who he is.
The other thing, and I also haven't run this by Scott either.
Good, excellent. This is turning out to be a fun episode.
Well, maybe I have mentioned this. Considering this isn't a thing, so maybe I shouldn't even mention it. Never mind. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Is possibly putting together an E2 Books Plus.
That's what it is.
And that will be a special members only.
We did talk about
side
that.
Of either the website or do something on Patreon where we'll be doing special video shorts, maybe extended shows.
Maybe videos in our shorts.
If you're lucky. Yes, those would be for the top tier.
That's the VIP level.
That's the VIP level. Or maybe that the VIPs pay so they don't get served.
Have to see that. Everybody else gets that. And you want to get away from this? VIP it, pal.
Pay up or I'll be in the nude. But we would be millionaires overnight.
I think we stumbled upon our golden ticket, Craig.
All this time, we didn't have to work nearly this hard. But yeah, hopefully that'll be something I would like to investigate doing. Maybe complimentary short stories that'll be exclusively for E2 Plus members, that kind of stuff. So I think you can kind of get the idea with the theme we're doing here. It's kind of E2 books. So that's kind of the route we're taking. If that escaped any of your attention, but very exciting stuff happening.
Have we mentioned the E2 books at all?
No. Oh, what is that? No, it should be a good time. I'm excited about it. And of course there will be other things coming up. I think Scott has some individual projects that he's working on. So none of that stuff is going. I don't know if you have anything you want to tell us. I don't want to put you on the spot. But.
Well, I can say that the audio book version of my very first novel, A Dark Clock, is in production with the amazing Avon Shore reading and acting as our producer in this case. Is Craig, even though he really doesn't have anything on his plate ever, he's an incredibly busy human being. So this was sort of a passion project for both Avon and I. She enjoyed the concept of the story. And when she started reading it, she just said, I got to record this. And she's not a person that you say, no, I don't think so too. You know,
right.
You don't get talent like that and just say, well, we'll talk. I was like, yes, when do you want to start? So we actually have it recorded. I think she might still have some pickups to do, but we can be talking about that in the near future. Yeah, I've also got a solo writing project that I really don't want to go into too much right now. Just know that it's more along the lines of jelly jars. And that's probably going to take a little while to finish because I'm kind of putting a lot of thought into it. So when you think it takes twice as long.
Right. Exactly.
You just book. Then it doesn't take so long. You know, if you actually want to put some thought into it.
Now, if you ever may manage to codify how you're able to do the book, let me know. I'd love to get in on that. That book. No, but that's on. I'm really excited about A Dark Clock. I remember sitting in on my patio one summer, and I don't think we've been in this house very long at the time. On the screened in, I was going through and proofreading, getting it ready to publish.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it just goes to show that I know the desire is for when people write a book and put it out there, they want it to rank and sell well right away. And that's great, great when they do. And then I suppose that's what we should strive for. But there are times when a book, a work can just, it ages gracefully.
Right.
Let me put it that way. And it, or I should say it comes of age later than you might expect. So just having it there and now things, I think exciting things are happening with it. And I think it'll be great. I think Haven's a great choice for it.
It was fun while she was recording because she did, I think, pretty much all of it on Discord, although she has altered her recording schedule to go a little later in the day. At the time we were recording, she was having a lot of really hot days up in Nova Scotia, and it was just better for her health to record at night when it was cooler. But so we didn't have a lot of folks stop in to hear, but whenever we did, she just constantly made a point of, by the way, this is Scott's first book. This is Scott's first, and at first I'm like, she's apologizing for me. And then she made the point, first books usually aren't this good.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay, this is a positive.
Yeah, the first is like, don't blame him. It was just
right. It's just his first book. He'll get better eventually, we're hoping.
He shows some promise. Promising young writer.
When we first started writing the spy codes together, we had one reviewer that kept referring to me as an exciting new voice in the thriller world. Like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's
better
fun
than being another tired effort by or something like that.
Right. Another subpar offering from Mr. Blah Blah. I tell you, reviews. You know, I got to be honest. I don't really. This is a topic for another time. It would be a great topic for a whole show, I suppose. I really don't read reviews much anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
When a book. Sorry, go ahead.
It just. If my experience recently has been whenever I read a review, there ends up being something in it that annoys me. So it's just like, it's better to not, it's just somebody reviewed it. That means they read it and I'm going with that,
Right. Now I will say, our core group of reviewers are awesome. And I always read theirs.
Yep.
In fact, because you review quickly when the book is out. And I usually keep track of a book's review. So the first few weeks or something like that, just to make sure something isn't going terribly awry. like I got the book and half of it was missing. That's something you'd want to know pretty quick. And I always look forward to
the was in Chinese characters.
Right, exactly. And our review team is great. And I always read their reviews and those are really valuable. But once it's been out a while, I don't really keep track of it. I will look at the average star rating and the number of reviews.
Right. Right.
But I tend to not dig into them. Like the first Serenity book has almost 2,000 reviews on it now. And I, I mean, thank you to everybody who's reviewed it, certainly. But it just, you know, you can get 1,500 good reviews and right. 500 iffy ones,
right.
and you're only going to remember the iffy ones. Or, I mean, sure. you get 2,000 great reviews and one really bad one, and you're only going
to remember the one bad one, yeah.
So it's yeah, just... Well,
out of the 2,000, I think you should probably know that 1,900 of them are me just writing.
Well, I would say I would have known that if I'd have read the maybe I should be reading the reviews. It's like,
and all the clever little names I came up with for my reviewers, you know, Chuck U. Farley and all those guys.
It's like, it's Scott Varango, SC Arango,
yeah.
SCOT, go.
But at that point, I knew you just wanted volume, so, and right. actually types out pretty quickly.
Right.
Especially
if I can rip through several of those a day.
Cut and paste, you know, you can just Alt V, Control V.
You know, if only it were that easy. And in the older days, it was really, but yeah. in more recent years, Amazon's gotten wise. Yeah. So, and sometimes to the better and sometimes not, you know.
I don't believe this Mr. U. Farley has read his book at all.
Yeah, there's a poor Amazon guy.
Yeah, right. One guy that just has to look at every pending review and it's like fake his mom.
Right. Oh wait, that was me. I'm fake. Oh yes, good stuff. But once more I will have to say this, you know, Scott turned in his latest, going back to the Arum series. And I should say it's called the Arum series because that's the Mayan city, that the central Mayan city in the book,
yes,
in the series. He has turned in his latest chapter, and it was great. So once again, it's on my. It always seems to be my turn. Why is that?
I think it might have to do with the fact that you have about 5% of the time you want to write that you actually can write.
Yeah, I remember telling you back in the spring that this I had planned to make this the summer of writing.
Yes.
Capitalized summer of writing. And I have done more writing than I had prior to that. But we had 3 different family trips, mm-hmm. 2 sicknesses, and, you know, various things popped up. So. It hasn't been as writerly as I had intended, but I have written more and do intend and hope to, because so much fun stuff that we have planned. Can't wait to bring that to you. So that is your E2 Books update for the day, for the week, for the month, however often we decide to do these things. Season 1, Episode 1, that means there has to be another one, right?
I would think so.
Sounds pretty official to me.
Standard production protocol. If you have season 1, episode 1, they're expecting at least an episode 2 before they pull the plug on you. So
good. Well, we'll assume that we've been renewed for another episode at least. So they don't drag us off the lot.
That's about
first.
Being the producers, the stars, and the right. network itself.
Am I fired?
No, sir.
You get a raise. You get twice what you're making now. Yay, 0. Scott's like, we're getting paid. No, we're not. I'm sorry.
When did this start?
Right. This is getting better all the time. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Later.
Bye.
The E2 Books Show.
E2 Books Show.
By Craig A. Hart and S.J. Varango.